Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Mark Allison on the after effects of Harold Camping's May 21st prediction of Judgment Day and the return of Christ.
The world looking at that says, the Bible said Christ was coming, and Christ did not come on the 21st, so therefore the Bible must be untrue.
That's Mark Allison next on His People. The message went out for months through radio, billboards, and an army of volunteers that May 21st would see Judgment Day and the return of Christ. Here we are 2 days later, and our guest is Mark Allison. He's here to help us take stock of what happened. Pastor Allison, your interest and concern about this is perhaps more pastoral and personal than that of most other pastors. Tell us why.
Well, I've been the pastor here in Malvern, Pennsylvania for 11 years. Before me, the man who was pastoring was John Greer, and there were a number of family radio people who came into the ministry under his preaching. One was even the vice president of the family radio broadcast. During that time, they stayed with us and were an important part of our ministry. And then, of course, Harold Camping proclaimed that Christ was coming in 1994. With that, some of the people left, and then others stayed with us. And those that stayed with us saw through Mr. Camping and became leaders in the church. We have several elders and deacons who, after 1994, jettisoned the teachings of Mr. Camping on prophecy and came to reexamine the scripture and became leaders, as I said, in the church. But when Camping said there was need to go out of the church in 2001, and that was in preparation for his new date, May the 21st, 2011, that Christ was coming back. There were others that left our church at that time. They were still following Camping. They'd been deceived by him in 1994, but they never really turned him off. They never saw through his other teachings. And so when the year 2001 came, they left the church as he instructed, and they are still following after him. At least most of them are. There are a few that have returned, but most of them are still following after him. So this is, in a very real sense, personal. These are friends, these are people we love, who we believe have been deceived, and our hope is that now on this side of May 21st, 2011, that the Lord will give them repentance and they'll be able to come back into the church.
Well, Pastor Allison, any idea, and I know nobody took a census or a count, but how many people were sort of hanging their hats on that last Saturday, May 21st, date for the judgment and the return of Christ? I mean, do you think that was a very large number of people?
It's really hard to pin it down because we're out here on the East Coast, and a large part of Harold Camping's following is on the West Coast. One of our deacons, Greg Cooper, actually went to a meeting by those that are following after Harold Camping. There are about 400 people there. How many does that actually represent on the East Coast? How large is it? A bigger group than that? I couldn't say. I do know that we have talked to some people who actually work at the station, Family Radio, and then many of them do not agree with Camping. One worker said that 99% did not agree with the date the Camping set, which is good news in that regard, but there are certainly a lot that have agreed with him, and we're looking for Christ to come on May the 21st.
And, of course, the billboards have been across the country. We have them right here where Pilgrim Radio is based. I've seen them in California. I've seen photographs of them across the country. My understanding is there were roughly 1,200 in the U.S. and even an additional 2,000 billboards overseas. And Harold Camping didn't give that May 21st as his interpretation. He phrased it rather on the billboards that the Bible guarantees it.
Yes, that's the sad part of it all, is that he has put his interpretation out as if it were the scripture. And so the world looking at that says, the Bible said Christ was coming, and Christ did not come on the 21st, so therefore the Bible must be untrue. And that's perhaps just the sad part. We have ministers in Canada, a minister down in Mexico, and there were billboards in Toronto as well as in Mexico City. So, you know, that message got out, and now the discrediting of the Scripture is something that we have to deal with.
Well, and I'm thinking, too, of the reactions of those that did follow, disappointment, disillusionment, possibly, well, believing that God or the Bible, as you said, must be wrong, or that maybe just shame that they feel like, how could I have been deceived like that? What do you say, from a pastoral perspective, how do you comfort or encourage these folks who may be going through some level of devastation at this point?
Well, we have to help them see that what they were following was not the Scripture, but Harold Camping, so that there is a distinction between the two. That was part of the reason why before May 21st, we were on the radio almost every day trying to show people from Scripture that what Mr. Camping was saying was really his own interpretation. It was not what the Scripture itself says. So you begin there. Secondly, there must be a measure of repentance in the heart of those who have followed after this teaching, because not only were they following the wrong date, they were saying that the church was given over to Satan, and that every gospel preacher, every faithful minister of the word was really a tool of the devil, and that the devil was speaking through him. Those are things that need to be repented of. And we can come to them, as we can with any one of God's people who have sinned, and say, look, that the blood of Christ is able to cleanse sin. The blood of Christ is able to wash you clean, even of this folly, of this sin. And if you would come and lay hold of Christ's blood, then you can get up and start to re-examine Scripture without the glasses, as it were, that Mr. Camping put on the Scriptures. Now let's go back to the Scriptures and see what it really says. And there's a measure of excitement for those who have been duped to come to Scripture and to look at it without, as it were, the interpretation of another man, and to see, oh, this is what the Bible really is saying, and to start to ground yourself that way. As I said, we have several elders and deacons in our congregation, and they would testify that when they stopped following Mr. Camping and began to come to the Scripture, it became a new book to them. God was speaking to their hearts, and their study of the Word of God became a delight to their soul. We're hoping that many of those who followed Camping and were disappointed by this day will be able to come back to the Scriptures, repent of their sins, plead the blood over their folly, and then come back to the Scriptures and study it. Now, part of the devastation is not merely that they've been wrong on Scripture, but many of them have given their life savings to publish the message of Harold Camping. And at this juncture, you're talking about financial destruction, as it were, for their own families. And again, the hope is that, well, out of these ruins, God would build something good, that they would come back to the Word of God, let the Good Shepherd lead them, and begin rebuilding their lives based on the Word of God.
Well, my guest today on His People, Pastor Mark Allison of Free Presbyterian Church in Malvern, Pennsylvania. And as you can tell, he has a number of years' experience with both analyzing Harold Camping's teachings as well as personally having people who followed Harold Camping and have since moved on from that. And he's offering really pastoral input to how to interpret and how to minister to those who may have looked for May 21st as that day of judgment and of Christ's return. Why did so many believe another prediction? There have been so many through the years, another prediction for the return of Christ in the face of Jesus' warning in the Bible that we won't know the day or the hour.
It's hard to get in the heart and heads of everyone as to why they believe what they do, but there is an amount of pride that goes with the idea that I understand something that preachers have not understood. I have come to know something that no one else has known before. And I know that when Mr. Camping was predicting May the 21st, he was actually saying that God is giving new revelation. Obviously, the revelation has only gone to himself, But nonetheless, God was giving new revelation, and that he was almost like the prophet showing that to others. Well, that brings about a great deal of pride in the hearts of many who think, well, I know something pastors don't know. Here's a man who's studied and gone to seminary, and he doesn't know this. That makes me very important, very knowledgeable. Well, now that the date has come and gone, we're hoping that that pride, that bubble will be burst, and that a true humility will come where we can actually help someone come, and let's look at the scriptures and see what God really says. Because when you tried before May the 21st to reason with many of these followers of Camping, you couldn't do so. It was almost like they were denying the faith even to consider that Christ was not coming. And so they bolstered themselves up in a blind faith rather than a confidence in the Word of God. I tell my people in my own congregation this often. Faith in Scripture is not a virtue unless it has a proper object. In fact, faith in Scripture is viewed as sinful and wicked if the object is not right. So you may have faith in Baal, but that's not virtuous, that's wrong. To have faith in what Mr. Camping said in contradiction to what the Scripture says, that is not viewed in Scripture as a virtue, but as something wrong. And yet, for many of these folks, it was bolstering their faith. Mr. Camping said this. He had this very complex calendar or chart showing dates and numbers that perhaps they couldn't even follow. But trusting that what he was saying was true, they leaped out by faith to follow him and did not turn back. Well, now the date is come and it's gone. The reaction will be one of either being humbled by it or perhaps even now steeling yourself against that embarrassment and helping to develop a cult that's going to follow with some new interpretation of that date.
And in terms of the credibility of Harold Camping and the Family Radio Network, somehow it puts something of a cloud over that, doesn't it?
It really does. Harold Camping, when it came to 1994, was much, much more orthodox in his teachings on many issues. But today he is not orthodox. He says the church is given over to Satan. There's no such thing as elders. You're not to take the Lord's table. You're not to baptize. There's no such thing as hell. The death of Christ on the cross did not bear away our sins, but he says that took place in eternity past. All of these things take away the credibility of Harold Camping, especially to Orthodox believers. And then a second date, or actually perhaps this is his third date, he is wrong again. So to bring credibility back to family radio is going to be very difficult, especially if Mr. Camping is still allowed to do the teaching and preaching there.
Is there any way that he couldn't continue? I mean, doesn't he sort of have the sole authority of what goes on the air, or do you know?
I'm not completely sure. I know that Family Radio was being run by a board of directors for, and those board of directors include Mr. Camping. How strong they will be now is yet to be seen. Will any of them crack, as it were, concerning his loyalty and try to bring the station back to a more biblical position? I don't see that they can do that as long as he is there still answering questions and giving forth his errors. The Church of Christ will not, I hope, would not tolerate that. But if he were to be removed and they were to get Orthodox men back into the station, there would be some response in a positive way, I think, from churches that would say, all right, they moved away from that. They want to go back to the old paths, to the truth of God's Word, and we'll get behind it.
And I think at this point a lot of people might ask, well, didn't any pastors, well, maybe such as yourself or so many across the country, some that perhaps were on the Family Radio Network, didn't they attempt to approach him or bring correction?
Yes, that happened, especially in the year 2000 when he said that you were to leave the local church and that he was going to start editing messages. This is what he wrote to us. We will begin to edit your messages. Any mention of the local church would be edited out. Any mention of you being a pastor would be edited out. And we had to pull off the station at that time saying that we could not endorse and help promote a wrong message. And so we, by letters, wrote to him, and he wrote back to us personally. Others went and saw him personally. They made the trip to Oakland, California, and spoke to him. And I know of those who spoke to him, very close to him. Gabriel Otero, who was on the family radio, spoke to him. And he turned a deaf ear to all of us. And so it's not as if he has not been talked to by men of God throughout the nation who have gone to him and said, look, at the, we don't believe this is right, and you're going to lead people astray, and this is going to do harm to the body of Christ. We can only hope that things will change now since this date has come and gone.
Well, it's interesting, Pastor Allison, you've touched on a number of other sorts of teachings that he has had prior to the May 21st prediction. From where you sit, and I know you're also an adjunct theology professor at Geneva Reformed Seminary, that was this kind of thing, if not specifically predictable, but somewhat predictable given his past doctrinal pronouncements and how they have changed through the years?
Yes, as he has been changing, he is becoming more and more bizarre, more and more unorthodox as concerning the scriptures and what has been seen by the people of God down through the ages. And so, in one sense, we're not surprised by his teaching. Those people in our church who left him in 1994 turned him off and stopped listening to him. When, a few years later, they turned him back on, they were amazed at how bizarre he sounded. Those who remained with Harold Camping, though, and would never turn him off, it was so gradual, the changes that were going on. Harold Camping has always been on the side of the sensational, wanting something new, something bigger, something better. Partly, perhaps that's due to having to raise funds for radio. You've got to be better than the preachers. You've got to be better than the current eschatology that's being taught. And so to see more and more sensationalism coming out of Harold Camping is not surprising, given that he has had a showing of that in the past.
Any sense of his method of biblical interpretation, Pastor Allison? I mean, anybody can open the Bible and see that we don't see that any dates, any years, any months, anywhere, and yet he came up with a very specific number.
Yeah, he showed a very, to me, a very disrespectful view of Scripture. He was not reverential towards Scripture, and that he was taking it out of context and making it say whatever he wished it to say. For instance, the date May the 21st, 2011, the real proof text for that is coming out of Genesis, where Noah was said to go into the ark, and there would be 7 days, and then it would begin to rain. And so he said, well, in the book of Peter, Peter says that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is 1 day. So we can take 1,000 years and substitute the 7 days for 7,000 years. And so he was saying that, well, here you have Noah. We know, I don't think he did know, but he said that we know that he went into the ark on such and such a date and such a year. 7,000 years later brings us to May the 21st, 2011. The funniest part of that is that not only in that verse does it say in 7 days it will begin raining, it also says that in 40, that it will rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Mr. Camping would not in the same verse say that those 40 days and 40 nights meant 40,000 years, because that would mean the tribulation period be 40,000 years long, and he did not have that in his chart. In other words, even in his own system, in his own perverted way of interpreting Scripture, he couldn't be consistent, even when it came to the very verse that he was dealing with. So in the first part of the verse, 7 days meant 7,000 years. In the next part of the same verse, the same sentence, 40 days meant just 40 days. That kind of interpreting Scripture is making the Scripture nonsensical, where you can't make sense of it at all, because you can't even tell in the same verse whether a day means a day or whether it means 1,000 years. That is not biblically interpreting Scripture. That's not being reverential towards Scripture. That is perverting Scripture. That is the thing that the cults have done and are doing as far as their way of dealing with the Scripture of God.
Well, let me ask you this, and I know I've got to let you go in just a minute, Pastor Allison, but we know that all of us as human beings are vulnerable to deception. How can any of us keep from being deceived in this way?
Well, the scriptures themselves are our sole source of authority. But in church history, God, by His Holy Spirit, has taught us through other men of God who have studied the Word. And so anytime you come to Scripture and you're coming up with something that's brand new, that's never been seen before, you have to come back and ask yourself, over 2,000 years of history, why am I the first one to see this? As one man said, if it's new, I'm talking about now interpreting Scripture, if it's new, it's probably not true. And if it's true, it's probably not new.
Yeah.
That is a good safeguard, I think, for most of God's people to come to Scripture and to analyze it, but not to be so arrogant as to not listen to what the Holy Spirit has taught men of God in past generations.
How would you recommend that we pray for those who may be sitting here in a disillusioned or worse state of mind, or even for Harold Camping himself?
I think we pray, first of all, for God to give them a spirit of repentance where they are willing to acknowledge that they have done wrong. Then to pray that they would be able to see that the blood of Christ is sufficient to wash away this sin, as it's sufficient to wash away all of our sins that we ourselves commit. We haven't committed this type of sin, but we sin daily and we need cleansing. And then to pray that God would give them grace to see the Scripture. The Scripture actually is clear. And that's the amazing thing. It is clear. But when you come to look at Scripture through someone else's eyes, it becomes very difficult. And pray that they would be able to see Scripture and that they would come back to join the ranks of God's people in a church, helping to build the church of Christ in this 21st century.
Would you recommend the same kind of prayer for Harold Camping himself?
I would pray for that. But I would also pray that if God will not give him the spirit of repentance, that he would deal with him in such a way that others would not be led astray by him any longer. How God wants to do that is up to the Lord. But we have, scriptural warrant from the Psalms to pray against those who are destroying God's people. And Mr. Camping has truly, in these last few years, set himself to try to destroy every church in the world, even the Orthodox Bible-believing churches. And we need to pray that that would come to an end. Hopefully through repentance, that he would be able to recognize and admit his own errors, that the Lord would deal with him in grace and mercy in that fashion.
You've been listening to His People on the Pilgrim Radio Network. Many thanks to today's guest, Mark Allison, pastor of Malvern Free Presbyterian Church in Pennsylvania. An ACLU complaint stops Gideon's Bible distribution in Tennessee. Schools in White County, Tennessee, will ban the Gideons from distributing Bibles to students in classrooms, according to a deal announced by the American Civil Liberties Union of Tennessee. Hetty Weinberg, executive director for ACLU-TN, said her organization received a complaint that members of the Gideons handed out Bibles last month at Doyle Elementary School in Doyle, about 100 miles east of Nashville. The Tennessean reports the Gideons came into the classroom and students were invited up to get a Bible if they wanted one. A student said she didn't want to take one but felt pressured to do so. Her mother later complained to school officials and then to the ACLU, according to a statement from the Civil Liberties Group. The Gideons, a nonprofit ministry based in Nashville, did not respond to a request for comment. Weinberg said she was pleased that the White County schools had agreed to stop the Bible distributions. She said White County Schools' decision to enter into this agreement reinforces the important constitutional guarantee of religious freedom. Their efforts ensure that all students will be treated fairly, regardless of their religious beliefs. The ACLU-TN recently filed suit against the Sumner County Board of Education, alleging that school officials in the county have been promoting Christianity. That suit included claims that the Gideons handed out Bibles. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Tom Schreiner on lessons learned from Harold Camping's faulty Judgment Day prediction.
So we're also reminded by this, we need each other. We need other Christians. We need other pastors and teachers and fellow Christians to keep us accountable. I shouldn't be just ministering by myself without others evaluating and correcting my work. And Harold Camping needs that too.
That's on tomorrow's program at this same time here on Pilgrim Radio. Thank you for listening.